Several people hope to be up early tomorrow morning. Some of them, as you see in the announcements, to attend the monthly prayer meeting at 7:30. Others, as we've already heard, to take their place in the starting lineup for the Belfast City Marathon. Both of those things require a considerable amount of discipline. However, for the marathon runners, this may be the last time they will be able to participate. If Belfast City Council gets its way, from next year, the marathon will be held on the Lord's Day. To suggest that this would rule out several people from competing seems to many, of course, quite incomprehensible. What could be wrong with running on a Sunday? Aren't you keeping fit, taking good exercise? For most people, the hours from Friday tea time till Monday breakfast time constitute the eagerly awaited period known as the weekend. And within the weekend, no distinction is made between any of the days. I'm not particularly getting at Belfast City Council this morning, but I noticed another effort that they are making, encroaching on the Lord's Day, trying to get rid of what they regard as the old restrictions which make the day dull and which hinder tourism. And so they have devised a program over the next number of months entitled Sunday in the City. You can find it on the website. You can pick up an attractively produced booklet which will describe the various activities directed towards individuals and towards families. There are tours arranged. There are music sessions. There are open-air bookstalls and all sorts of strange activities. There is no mention of attending worship. This is the world. This is the world in which we live. And increasingly, keeping the Lord's Day as distinctive will mark the Christian out. It will be one of the badges which Christian believers wear in the presence of this world. Not only does the world, of course, ignore the sanctity of the Lord's Day, increasingly in the church there is a growing ambivalence. Many evangelical Christians are questioning the need to keep this day special. They are not really sure that the fourth commandment is still as binding on us as the other commandments are. Someone directed my attention this past week to a good publication and a helpful publication called the English Standard Version Study Bible. And I know several here find it very useful. It is very useful. But in that study Bible, there is a comment made on a passage in Romans 14 which says, the Sabbath is no longer a binding commitment for Paul, but a matter of one's own personal convictions. The writer of the notes is suggesting that the fourth commandment really isn't actually part of the moral law. That's a weakness and an inconsistency. You see, this day is certainly distinctive, and the observance of this commandment is still required. We're going to look this morning at our Lord's direction for this, when he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus loved this day. He kept it holy. And he rules over this day. And he has shown us how we are to consider and observe it. So just two things this morning. First of all, the Lord has provided this day for us. The Sabbath was made for man. It is given to us to be a blessing, a kind and necessary gift. And right from the beginning, God's purpose was to that end, a kind and necessary gift. He gave us the pattern for the keeping of this day. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he ceased from all the work of creating that he had done. He ceased not due to tiredness, of course, but so that we could have this pattern set out for us. 6 days work and 1 day's rest. Our sovereign Creator knows us perfectly and knows that we need this day, totally different from all the others, and in his wisdom and love has given it to us. Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, given to be a blessing. These words must have come as a wonderful refreshment and a joyful announcement to the people who were listening at that point. You see, they had lost the blessing because the Pharisees had come along and made the day into a burden. And you can see here how critical they are of the way Jesus and his disciples are using this day. They criticize the disciples for picking ears of corn as they walked through the field on the Sabbath. The disciples were actually within their rights to pick the ears of corn, because in Deuteronomy the law allowed for that. As long as you didn't bring a sickle with you and only used your hands, you were free to pick the ears of corn in any field you were walking through. But the Pharisees said, picking an ear of corn is actually, it's more than that. They said it's reaping. It's like getting out the tractor and going through the field, reaping and filling a trailer with corn. The Pharisees had 39 categories of work which was forbidden on the Sabbath, and this was one of them. They had turned the day into an intolerable burden. Jesus answered them by pointing them to Scripture, to a passage about David, a passage which he used to show them how their views were legalistic and unwarranted. David and his men were hungry, and they were tired, and they needed food. And the only food available for them to eat was the food which was the consecrated bread set on the table in the house of God. Every Sabbath, 12 baked loaves of bread were placed on the table in the holy place. And then the priests ate the old ones. That was the ceremonial law. The bread was for the priests. But there was an alliance that if someone was hungry and in great need, then the ceremonial law could be set at that point to one side. The law has not been given to prevent good things being done. The Pharisees had misunderstood that. They had missed the point that the commandment regarding the Sabbath was for our good. The Sabbath was made for man, for his good. Isn't it interesting when we look back to creation, we see that man was made first, and then the Sabbath was made, given to him as a day of blessing. And interestingly, the first full day that Adam spent in this world, the first morning he woke up, was a Sabbath day, a day for his good. The day is provided by the Lord for our good. To rest, that's for our good, to rest. Our sovereign Lord knows we need a day of rest in every seven. Surely if there's ever a generation which showed how necessary a day of rest is, it's our generation. We live at a pace today which is frenetic. Stress levels are soaring. Anxiety states are climbing. Bodies are worn out. Family life is fractured. And I know this is not the only reason, but this is surely a significant point, that this blessing, this day given to us for rest, is being ignored. There's a kind of dullness and dreariness about modern life, isn't there, when every day is the same and one week merges into the next week without any halting or ceasing. We live in what's called the 24/7 era. All day, every day, all day, every day, over and over and over again. And we are surprised that people are worn out and stressed. Don't you feel sorry for these poor politicians? Or maybe you don't, but I do feel a bit sorry for them. Here they are out on the campaign trail, 24/7. Wouldn't it be good for them and good for us if they said, there's one day every week and I am not going out on the campaign trail? Would it harm anybody? It would be a blessing to them. But the men say, no, we don't want any restrictions. We don't want a law that hinders us from using every day in the way we want to use it. We want to be free. We want to be free to decide for ourselves. And the tragedy is that so-called freedom has become a slavery. Over the last number of years, since there has been permission to open shopping centres 7 days a week, as I have driven home from morning worship, I've seen the car park filled with cars, packed. What do we think of that? Well, it's sobering, isn't it? It's sobering, because it's just one more evidence of a nation turning its back on God and his law. One more reason for the judgment which is resting on our nation. But it's not only sobering, it's also saddening. People throwing away God's good gift of a day of rest. I feel a great pity for the people whom I see on the Lord's Day morning pushing their trolleys in and out across the car park at our shopping centre. And I often think to myself, is that the best you can do? Is that the best way you can use this lovely gift which has been given to you? Shopping. It's sad. People don't realise they're losing such a blessing. When we call this day the Sabbath, we're really saying it's a day of ceasing. Jesus says, here's the rest you need. Here's the gift for you. What a blessing. To be able to say, no work to do today. No books to get out and pore over and study. No need to be distracted by television and radio and newspapers. A holy resting, the Catechism says. A holy resting. Now there's a difference, of course, between a holy resting and laziness. Some people may quite like a day when there is nothing to do. You can lie about. The Catechism uses a very interesting phrase about that. It says, in that way, you profane the day by idleness. You don't really understand the commandment at all. But it's a holy resting, a day to rest. And then it's a day to remember. Because the Sabbath itself has lessons for us. It reminds us of great, important, fundamental truths. Every Sabbath that comes around reminds us of two fundamental truths which everyone needs to believe. You see, the Ten Commandments are given in two places, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. In Exodus, the reason for the Sabbath day being holy is because God rested from creation. In Deuteronomy, the reason the fourth commandment is given and the day is holy is that he redeemed them from Egypt and slavery. So we have two great lessons every Lord's Day. We learn about creation and we remember redemption. It reinforces these two great truths that God is our creator and in Christ he is our Redeemer. We come to worship him as creator and redeemer. To acknowledge our dependence on him as our creator. To return our praise to him as our redeemer. To gaze on his glory and raise our voices to worship. Let's not lose the benefit of this day. To rest and to remember. Be thankful for such a kind gift. The Sabbath was made for man. And those who call it a delight are the people, of course, who know the Lord of the Sabbath. John Newton said, "How dull the Sabbath day without the Sabbath's Lord." It's not a legalistic thing. It's not a formal thing. It's not keeping rules. It's not following directions. It's saying, this is the Lord's day which he has given and which tells me every week of his great works of creation and redemption. And as I believe in him, I want to use the day as he wants me to use it. Do you ever prepare, I wonder, for the Lord's Day? Maybe set aside a good book that you could read this afternoon. Get to bed at a good time on Saturday evening so as you're fresh for worship and for this day to benefit from it. And one that challenges me. Give yourself sufficient time to prepare for coming to worship so that you aren't at the last minute rushing. The Sabbath was made for man. The second thing is, that is, first of all, Jesus provided the day. Secondly, Jesus governs the day. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. John on the island of Patmos called this the Lord's Day. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So by his authority, he tells us when this day is to be observed. You know that at creation, of course, it was the seventh day of the week that was the Sabbath. And since the day, time of Christ's finished work of redemption, it is now the first day of the week. After Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, we're told in Matthew, he rose on that day, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week. And interestingly, in the original, the word Sabbath is used twice in that sentence. After Sabbath, on the first Sabbath of the week. This is the beginning of Sabbaths. This is the new day to be observed. This is the Lord's day. It was on the first day that Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. At evening on that first day of the week, Jesus came and stood before them. It was on the first day that he poured out his Spirit at Pentecost. In these ways, our Lord, by his authority, changed the day from the seventh to the first. He is Lord of the Sabbath and tells us when it is to be observed. But also, he is Lord of the Sabbath and tells us how it is to be observed. How is that? Very simply, use it as he did. And the priority for our Lord is the worship of God. In Luke 4, we're told he went up to Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Every Sabbath, our Lord was there to worship his heavenly Father. Some customs are really good, and we should build them into our lives. And this is one of them. Build it into your life. Guard it. The priority of worship. Nothing should keep us from it. Supposing someone was to call with you half an hour before you were going out to worship. What would you do? Well, supposing someone was to call with you half an hour before the school concert in which your son was singing a solo, what would you do? You would say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go because something really, really important is on at school. The priority of worship. But also, we see in Jesus' pattern of the Sabbath the works of necessity. That's the whole meaning of this portion about the eating of the corn. It was necessary for the disciples to eat, and so that was quite proper on the Sabbath day. And also works of mercy. Interestingly, our Lord performed many of his miracles on the Sabbath. The old writers used to say the Sabbath is to be kept by works of piety, coming to worship, works of necessity, eating and looking after yourself, and works of mercy, caring for other people in need. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Every Christian makes this confession: Jesus is Lord. To be a Christian is to say, he is Lord. He is Lord over everything. He is Lord over our use of this day. We must submit to that lordship and ask how he wants us to use it. He is Lord. He shows us the pattern. He gives us the direction. He is Lord over everything. Over our use of this day. But remember this. When the Son of Man returns, he will return as Lord of the Sabbath. And he will come to bring his people into the final eternal Sabbath, the one to which every other Sabbath is pointing. He will come to gather his people into what the writer to the Hebrews calls the Sabbath rest, which yet remains for the people of God. The Sabbath rest of heaven. Let every Sabbath remind us of that and lift our hearts and our thoughts to that great Sabbath rest. And let every Sabbath be used as another step along the way of holiness and preparation for the final Sabbath, which will last forever. The Sabbath rest, which belongs to the people of God. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad that it is so? Aren't we thankful for his kindness to us? And be submissive to his lordship. Amen.